Network Marketing. I'm going to hit star 5 because we got a lot of slack, a lot of noise in the background. Okay, there you go. That should quiet it down. Okay, great. Okay, so let's talk about, let's first review the laws that we've gone through already. We started with Law 1, which is the Law of Momentum, and of course we know what that's about, how to create momentum in your organization, and that's really to have consistent action. And everybody needs to continue to take consistent action, and if you want to grow your business faster, then you take massive action. That's what really pops your business. Law of Momentum, that's how you create momentum in your business. Law number two is Law of Numbers, and that just kind of tells you exactly what we always do. That's the whole concept of network marketing, is how many people you contact out there. Prospect, prospect, prospect. You have to go out there and talk to lots of people if you want to grow your business. It's not about contacting one. Well, I still have a lot of static. I wonder if I... Okay. I guess it's static. Hopefully it's not as bad for you as it is for me. Okay, so the second law is a lot of numbers, so let's just, again, look at that and make sure we're contacting enough people. Every day we should be out there sharing this mission with somebody. And we had a big talk this morning on one of my coaching calls about, you know, if you're not sharing at least with one new person a day, are you really doing the business? Or are you really on the mission? Because if you really truly believe in this mission and believe what it can mean for people's lives, you should be out there desperately wanting to share it with people. And there's just, last time I looked, there's not a lack of people in this world. The third law is called the Law of Appreciation. And the Law of Appreciation is one that basically says, come from a heart of gratitude. At all times, we should be grateful. We should have an attitude of gratitude, because gratitude is what appreciates our lives and appreciates our business. When you have if you have no gratitude toward things and you're discouraged and you come from that kind of principle, what happens is if your ingratitude actually causes your business to shrink. It depreciates anything in your life. Depreciation breeds discouragement, blame, negative thoughts, all those things that will move you nowhere except the wrong direction. So always consistently come with that attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for everything that happens in your life. The fourth law is the Law of Priorities, and on that one we talked about the Pareto Principle, which is really about that 80% of the action that you have in your life creates only 20% of the results. So that means that 20% of your actions, you reap 80% of your results. So what you want to do is prioritize to make sure you're focusing on what is it that in your life that creates the greatest amount of results. I call it stay effective, not busy. So really evaluating on a day-in and day-out basis what's creating results for you, and that's what you focus on and that's what you do. A lot of people do that in network marketing. They'll look at their life and they'll say, okay, what's creating results? And it's stepping outside their comfort zone. But it's so uncomfortable for them, they choose not to do it. But that's, again, choosing not to be effective, choosing to keep busy instead of being effective. So look at your priorities and how you're scheduling your day and where you're putting your time and energy in your business, and you can have a huge difference in results by just concentrating and focusing on the 20% of your actions that create 80% of your results. The fifth law that we talked about was Law of Cause and Effect, and that's just a law that basically says, as you sow, so shall you reap. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So you take action, and you're going to get reaction from your action. So it just keeps you going. It's about constantly being in action so that you can reap the benefits of that. Because even if your action today isn't necessarily providing results, you're going to create results down the road. So the more action you take, the quicker you'll learn what works, and then the quicker you learn what works, the more effective you're going to be. But you must continue to take action, because that's cause and effect. Action creates results. So as you sow, so shall you reap. And then as you duplicate that activity in your downline, it's incredible. That's where leverage comes in, and you see tremendous results with leverage. And the sixth law that we talked about was the Law of Service. And the Law of Service is really just acknowledging what this business is. This is a people business. The heart and soul of any network marketing lies in really offering people a product, a service, a genuine income opportunity that really can improve their lives. So if this is a people business, what are we doing? We're in a service business. It's about serving them, meeting their needs, you know, loving on them, just giving people what they need, supporting them in their direction in their lives, or supporting them in taking a different direction in their lives that can accomplish the results that they want. And so serving people is what we do every day of our life. That's what this business is about. And if you don't serve people, you're going to suffer a high cost. And sometimes, you know, in the summer months, some of us see that in our downline. Some of you looked at your downline shrink over the last 3 months, or not grow. So what's happening is it's not, what are we doing about servicing our customers? Maybe we took the summer off, or we took a few months off, and you're going to see that start to deteriorate because we're not out there doing what we need to do, which is stepping up and serving other people. So law number six, the law of service, critical one. That everybody acknowledges this is a people business, and we need to serve those customers, those consumers, as well as service our business builders. So let's jump into the last three laws of the 9 unbreakable laws of network marketing. Law number 7 is called the law of planning and goal setting. And you've heard this way too many times, some of you, but some of you are relatively new, so we're going to go over it one more time. This category and this aspect of network marketing and life is never overstated because it's so absolute and absolutely true. And that is the concept of if you want to get somewhere in life, you need to sit down and plan and set goals in order to make that happen for you. And the whole concept of goals and setting goals, of course, it doesn't matter what success book you've ever read in your life, anyone that you take off a shelf, one of the first informative stages of anyone who's been successful is they'll tell you they sat down and they had written goals. They put written goals on a piece of paper. They could visualize it. It becomes a part of who they are. And, you know, the whole concept of as a man thinketh, so is he. You're putting those positive thoughts out and meeting those goals and making things happen. And that's going to create action, not just out of you, but action around the universe for you and direct you and create results for you. So it's critical that we all have a set of written goals. Now, the intriguing thing is a lot of people don't do it, and a lot of people don't do it for lots of different reasons. But if you're really, truly trying to make this business work for you and have results in this business, you're going to have to sit down and do those written goals. Written goals, what does a goal mean? When you set a goal, you really want to mean it. You want to make a commitment with yourself. So you want to make sure it's not so ridiculous that it's unapproachable. And when you make a goal, you are making a commitment to yourself. You're making a commitment in achieving certain results. But the number one person we typically break commitments with are going to be ourselves. We see that across the board. We're the ones that we're so likely to break commitments with. And every single time we break commitments to ourselves, we really are telling ourselves, you're not worth it. And what a horrible thing to feed your subconscious, that you're not worth it. So when you make these commitments and you set goals, you need to say, I'm making a commitment to myself, and I am worth it. And don't start rationalizing why you're not, or rationalize someone else is worth more, all this kind of stuff. People love to go into all that stuff. It's just a bunch of stuff. It's stuff that you convince yourself of. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? I am worth it. I am worth this goal. I am worth it to make this happen. And then your energy will shift and you'll make things happen that you've never been able to make happen before in your life. You'll see a shift in you. And some people go, well, Mary Jo is very selfish. Well, what do you mean? Your goal is selfish? If your goal is totally selfish, then maybe it is so. But the goal is always in a direction to get somewhere else because we all have visions in our lives. We all have a concept of what we're going to do when we hit those goals. And I don't see a lot of visions that are totally selfish. I see a tremendous amount of people, especially associated with management, who have phenomenal visions in their life to really make a difference in this world. And that's what I'm going to do around. How are we going to make a difference in this world? Because this world needs a lot. And if it's not evident to you, just take out your newspaper. Just watch television for an hour one day. Watch the news and tell me this world doesn't desperately need leaders and desperately need people to step up and make a difference in every category. We're losing a lot of battles out there, and we need to be bigger than ourselves, and that's by setting goals and getting ourselves committed to things outside the realm of our comfort zone. So set your vision, set your goals. Make sure your goals are smart, specific, measurable, achievable, risky, and timely. I just give you that instruction because that's what I use when I help people set goals. And look at the statistics, too, of what's out there. A lot of you heard about the study at Yale University. In fact, I read a network marketing magazine book one time, and it said that study never really existed, but the fact remains the fact, even though there's not that study, but it's published everywhere, and it was also published by Don Ginn in his 9 Unbreakable Laws about the study at Yale University, where they took a study of the students at the end of a year, and they said how many people had written goals, and only 30% of those who graduated in that graduating class had set written, clearly defined, concrete goals with a timely action plan for all of them. And when they came back 20 years later and they met with that same class, the 3% that had set the written goals had accomplished more than the combined results of all the other 97% in that graduating class. That's a pretty gigantic statistic. And 3% was back of the industry when they did a cross-section of who set goals and who actually, you know, writing goals. 3% came almost the standard in the industry. In fact, most people in America don't set goals. So only 3% of Americans have established, formalized goals in their life. And even after all the 10, 20 years since then, of all the books published and all the recommendations we have, and whether it's the Danny Johnson or whatever, it doesn't matter what network marketing, you know, courses you go to or books that you read, John Kalish, Being the Best You Can Be in MLM, or you know, Yarnell, all these guys, every single one of them across the board tell you to set goals. Even with all that instruction and all that intrigue and intellectual and successful people telling us that's what we need to do in order to accomplish what we want in life, still today the statistic remains that only 3% of Americans have written goals. So I'm just suggesting there's some roadblock out there for people, and whatever that roadblock is for you, please get rid of it. And I worked with a woman this weekend. I'll just share with you a little bit about some roadblocks, and maybe that can help you. I shared with a woman who told me, Mary Jo, for years I've just been, you know, and the reason I don't set goals is because I first ask, well, what's the reason? What caused you to be negative about goal setting? And probably the number one reason out there is that people don't meet them, and they get discouraged. And I always look at it as, hey, if I don't meet a goal, I just look at myself and say, how could I have been different? It's a learning experience for me about how I need to shift and be different, because clearly something went awry and I need to shift. I need to increase my intent. I need to make a stronger commitment. I need to be different. I need to shift. Because I know that if I set my intent right, it'll create those results. So setting goals to me is never a negative thing. It never is a discouraging thing. But some people get very discouraged. So I started asking this person in Manatech about what causes her, why are you in Manatech? And she said, Mary Jo, it's a phenomenal mission. I love to help people get well. I just have a heart and passion for helping people get well. And so I said to her, I said, well, forget GPD and forget leadership levels. Why don't you look at it this way? If I said to you, do you think you can touch 40 people's lives between now and the end of the year? And she looked at me and she said, absolutely. And I said, great. Well, then use that as a goal. So however you want to phrase your goals is up to you. Whatever motivates you is how you need to phrase your goals. If you put something out there that's not going to motivate you, then don't do it. But if you really are in this business because you want to touch people's lives, making a commitment to how many lives you're going to touch and get started on the products and help get well over the next 6 months, it's not a bad, or 5 months or whatever, is not a bad goal for you to set, because it's just going to push you a little bit out of your comfort zone to do what you're committed to doing, the reason why you're in this business. So maybe you need to rephrase your goals and put it in different terminology, but you need to have written goals, absolutely, or you just keep living this life of a meandering generality. You need to have a fixed, where am I going, get directions with it, and put some pressure on you to get outside that comfort zone. The secret to winning, Lewis Lombardi was a true master of planning and goals and setting goals and preparation. In fact, he always had the attitude of, game day was the easiest part of the entire week, because if you truly plan and prepare to such a phenomenal extent, rolling into the game day is nothing, because it's already done. You don't have to worry about it. Everything's in place. You've done all the planning. You've done all the prep work. So you've done as much as you could do, but that takes discipline and structure and accountability. There's a story in the book that said Bart Starr attended one of the first meetings he ever did with Vince Lombardi, and he was so absolutely overwhelmed by all the planning and prep work that Vince Lombardi did. He got up out of the meeting, went into the hallway, called his wife, and said, you know what, honey, we're going to win. Right then, that we're going to win. And, of course, Vince Lombardi is one of the greatest, winningest coaches ever in National Football League. So it's about putting that preparation and putting the planning into things, getting things prepared and planned and doing things ahead, not procrastinating. And when you do that, when you operate your life like that with planning and prep work and you're going to build confidence in the people. You're going to build confidence in your organization. So you have to start looking at what kind of confidence am I building in my organization for my behavior? Or is my behavior sending out the wrong signal? Because you always remember that we're duplicatable. No matter good or bad, we're duplicatable. So you want to make sure you're sending out good information. You're sending out good vibes to people, not bad ones. Planning to plan. And that's a good one, too, because it really talks about the critical importance of doing that planning work. It's critical that we plan. If we don't plan, then we're planning to fail. So we want to make sure that we're planning. That's what we need to do. A failure plan is planning to fail. Setting goals and planning your success track literally gives you the energy. It actually sets you on track. It gives you energy. People get worked up. It's invigorating to have plans and have goals set. So that's another reason why you want to put yourself into that position of putting those plans together. What is the plan? Because not only do you have a vision, but you have set goals, and then you have a plan about around it. So you want to set a business plan down. And one of the things that came out of this book that was so fascinating to me, that just kind of consistent with what we've trained lately, is that everybody needs, you just don't have a business, but you have it's called a single daily action plan. And the single daily action plan looks kind of like what Carrie Shepherd taught us about a few weeks back on this call, which is the 5-2-5 plan. It's certain activities that you say, no matter what happens in my life, I'm convicted to do these activities every single day. And that becomes your single daily action plan. So you still have your to-do list, but on your daily, you know, what you do on a daily basis, you always do a certain activity. And Carrie, of course, taught us the 5-2-5, which is you make, you know, 5 contacts to new people, whether they're brand new or they're prospects on your hopper, people that you've already contacted at one time or another. So you contact 5 of those a day. You have 2 people that you follow up with in your organization who are already in your organization to support them and service them and motivate them. And then you do 5 reactivations. You get a hold of 5 people in your organization that maybe quit taking the products or whatever. So you have 5-2-5. That's Carrie's plan, and you can look at that on the internet on the ManaTrain website to understand it, because she gave a training, download that MP3 and look at her outline. And that's one way of learning. The one that was in the Don Ginn's book was even more, you know, kind of aggressive for people. His number one was contact 5 new prospects. Every day, contact 5 new prospects. Most of you, I would suggest, maybe don't even contact 1 new prospect. But it doesn't matter what number you fill in the blank. It's having a single daily action plan. So maybe you say, I'm going to contact 1 new person every single day. That's my commitment. And that just means you share with 1 new person. And some of you say, well, I don't know if I get... What? Do you go to the post office? Do you go to the grocery store? Do you get out of your house? If you get out of your house once a day, then you can contact 1 person. Because we are just always overloaded with people in our lives everywhere. I don't care if it's going to a restaurant, talking to the waiter, or talking to the woman that checks you out at the grocery store, or the woman standing in line with you, or the woman looking at the chips in the chip department with you, or it's, you know, the guy in line at the post office or the postman himself. You just have tons of people in your life, but you're just, something's holding you back and you're just deciding not to share. And I'm not talking about being a volcano with these people. You just share about this incredible new breakthrough technology that's changing your life. Talk about a testimony you have, or maybe talk about a friend of yours that you helped, and it's just incredible. But try to tie it into something important for them, because remember, this is a need fulfillment business. And you can share every single day of your life with somebody, somewhere. And if you really look at this as a mission, isn't that what we ought to be doing? Absolutely. So build yourself a single daily action plan and be consistent with it. And that's huge for all of us. It's something that we don't do. And if we don't have something structured in our life like that, we're going to live our life just by hit and miss. And I don't like the hit and miss. Because when I see hit and miss, what I see happening is people get to executive by hit and miss, and then they fall back to national. Or they get to presidential, and then they fall back to executive, or even as bad as national. Because they did it all by hit and miss. There was no structure. Some of you love network marketing because you get freedom. You get to, it's your own business. But people, you absolutely have to have structure in this business to really make it work. And that means discipline and adding some structure to your life that you do every day. Make a commitment. Okay, so that's the law of planning and goals. You have to have a plan. You have to put in place some structure. Make sure it's something that's duplicatable, and make sure you do it every single day. Nothing worse than you adopting a plan. Like, let's say you go out there and say, you teach everybody something, and then you don't do it yourself. And that we call hypocritical, because now you're trying to teach everybody and you're not going to perform it yourself. You know, there's no way you can live a life of integrity by, you know, going out there and preaching and teaching these things and not convicting yourself to do it yourself. You've got to step up and do it as the leader, otherwise no one's going to follow you. And you can say, well, Mary Jo, they really don't know what I'm doing or not doing. Oh, trust me, they know. Trust me, they know. So you step up and do what you need to be doing, and you'll see the results trickle down through your whole organization. But when you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, and you're teaching and training people, it's kind of like telling somebody to set goals, and you don't set goals yourself. It's not going to work, because you're out of integrity. You're out of integrity. So make sure you stay in integrity around things you do and don't do in this business, and what you teach and what you don't teach, because you want to make sure that people are doing what they need to be doing, and they're going to follow you, good or bad. Okay, law number 8 is the law of belief, and we've been over this many times. In fact, we talked about this when we went over the Clemmer book, when was it, a year ago and during the summer, when we went over those, each of the chapters, and belief is so huge, and I talk about belief throughout many, many of my calls, because it's so gigantic. It's as a man believes, as a man thinketh. You know, what's in our brain, what we believe. I love the statement that if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you know what, you're always right. So how powerful is that belief? How powerful is it in our belief system, what we have in our belief system? There's so much power in it, we need to fully understand how powerful our belief system. Successful people know it beyond belief. You get it? Successful people totally understand this concept more than anyone else. They really have it picture perfect clear. Belief is so crucial. And they've discovered it firsthand for the most part, because they've been working on their own belief systems to allow them to achieve the success they have in their life. We use our beliefs every single day. We use them either to create our dreams, or we equally use them to sabotage our dreams. I have a lot of people, I could tell story after story about people who sabotage their Manatech business just in my own downline. I don't have to go outward to find that. I watch people that sabotage their own business. They run like the wind, and then they start their sabotage process, and it all has to do with their belief system. Or I should say, lack of beliefs, right? It's a negative belief system. Instead of a positive belief system, it's negative. So what you want to do is, if you want to establish, if you want to achieve extraordinary things, you have to have extraordinary beliefs. You got to step into it. You got to believe it. You got to write affirmations. You got to reinforce yourself. You need to have a good mentoring system, a good coach system that keeps you on track about it. The power of belief is incredible. In fact, there's a great book out there. Some of you might be familiar with it. It's called Timeless Healing by Dr. Herbert Benson. And he took it to another level. He talked about healing. And I use this all the time when I work with people. In fact, this past week when I was up in Minneapolis, I worked with a gal who suffered from glioblastoma multiforme. She was in her 20s. Now, this woman is given, the doctor's given no chance of survival. They have a 0% success rate in the medical world on glioblastoma multiforme. Fastest growing brain cancer that exists. So this is what she's up against. And I sat down with her because somebody had started her Manatech products, and I just worked with her around what she was taking and talked to her about it, just gave her reinforcement. She came to one of my opportunity meetings I gave, and I met with her afterwards, and one of the critical things, besides just reinforcing her, loving on her, and telling her, you know, take all the information, all the statistics, and throw them away. Because what's so powerful here for her was what she believed. And you don't want to be tainted by statistics. You want to be looking at this and really truly stepping into a stature of total belief that you're going to get well. Because 80% of your healing, that's what I told her, 80% of your healing is really whether you believe it or not. If you believe you're not going to get well, you know what? You won't. It's a whole statement. If you believe it or you don't believe it, whichever way, you're going to be right. So step in and take on that power of belief. And that's exactly what Herbert Benson said. He says it's the majority percentage of whether people get well or not is what they believe in. The positive attitude, the belief system that's going out there, guess what? You're going to be well. You're going to be well. But you got to have that belief. It's an incredible tonic to the mind. It's a chemistry thing in the human body about the strength of our belief system. So it's a, as he says in the book, he says it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whether you believe you can or can't, you're always going to be right. So, you know, to get rid of, dismiss doubt, because doubt is what undermines your dreams. I use something in my organization called a belief scale, and I actually attached a copy of it for all of you on the outline so you can have it yourself. It's called a self-scoring belief scale, and it goes through six different aspects of network marketing with Manatech, and it just has a little scale on each one, and you fill it out to tell me where you are in each of those issues. And I use it in my pathway class, and I use it with my downline leaders and people coming up in Manatech, because it gives me a direction of where they're going off base. If people have a belief system problem, I want to pinpoint where it is, because if I don't help them overcome that, they're never going to move forward. Here's another example how beliefs hold you back in this business. Here's a huge example. When I give my trainings like I did this Saturday up in Minneapolis, I had a group of people and I said, okay, tell me, how many in here, I said, give me one of the objections that you keep coming across when you try to market Manatech. What are some of the major objections you keep coming across and have a hard time with when you're out there marketing Manatech? And, you know, 90% of the people in the group raised their, when I said, okay, how many put down it's too expensive? And, you know, 90% of the people in the class raised their hand. And I looked at all the people in the class and I said, you know what, I'm going to tell you something you may not be aware of. But all of you who just raised your hand, you, somewhere in your conscious or subconscious, believe these products are expensive. Because that's why it got down on your sheet of paper as an objection you have a hard time overcoming. Because inherently, inside of you, subconscious or consciously, you believe the products are expensive. And when somebody objects to that on that level, you have a hard time overcoming that objection because it's inherent in you. You may not see it or you don't want to acknowledge it, but it's there. And you'd be so out of integrity if you started negotiating with somebody and trying to convince them they're not, when you, in fact, believe they were yourself. So, you know, that's a huge power of belief system. You have a belief system that's not allowing you to move forward in Manatech because your beliefs are stifling you and freezing you from moving forward. So the issue becomes one of how do I move off of that belief system, Mary Jo? Because every one of you can change your beliefs. All of us can change our beliefs. They're just basically what we choose to believe. It's just a choice we make around. So how do I choose differently about the expensiveness or not expensiveness or inexpensiveness of the products? Well, it's easy for people like Mary Jo to look at these products and call them unbelievably inexpensive. And the reason I can do that, I could do that from almost day one, because when my dad had his recovery from Alzheimer's, what do you think happened, people? Do you think that I thought these products were expensive? There's absolutely nothing else on the face of the earth that could have done that for my father. I said on the face of the earth. We always know God could heal anybody. But there's nothing else that we have in this secular world that could have done that for my dad, except for Ambertose. So Ambertose, to me, was tremendously inexpensive. But over the last 7 years, I could just sit in front of you on stage and I could reel off hundreds of testimonials, hundreds of them, that have been impacted in my organization alone of people having phenomenal health results. And you know what? It's impossible for me to look at this product as expensive. In fact, there are people in my organization, if Ambertose costs $500 a month for a tub of Ambertose, they would buy it. It doesn't matter. The price doesn't matter. It's not about price. It's about value. What is the value of it? And that's where you need to shift your belief system, because if you believe that it's expensive, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be stuck. So belief plays a huge role. So you need to start looking at where your belief system is around each of these different issues, and maybe that's the cornerstone of what's really holding you back. It's preventing you from moving forward. And if you need to move forward on the issue of expensive or not expensive, I suggest you just get a We Listen tape, or you get listen to the testimonials on GlycoSystem or GlycoStory, or you get listen to any audio or visual that talks about the different things that these are testimonials that have occurred because of these products. If you do that 20 minutes a day for the next week, and I guarantee you, you will move off square one. Because anything that can do what these products are doing out there is obviously not expensive. Look at the value that they carry, okay? So again, belief. Belief is critical. It's absolutely incredibly important for us to have positive beliefs about everything, our business, you know, what the products do, our compensation plan, the business, you know, that the, you know, how people can make a business out of this and get the financial freedom. All of this requires us to step up in our belief system and really become firm with our belief system. Let's talk about the, you know, Zig Ziglar. Everything around you is created twice. Zig Ziglar, science has proven that the central nervous system does not know the difference between real and imaginary. So when you look at that concept, that should highlight again to you about the importance of belief. Because even if our belief isn't our reality today, you know, our subconscious, central nervous system doesn't distinguish it. You feed it into yourself and it goes, okay. You tell yourself something and your subconscious goes, okay. So if you, for those of you out there that keep telling your subconscious, I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy, that's what your subconscious is doing. It's saying, okay. It doesn't know how to say anything except okay. It's not going to fight with you. It's not going to contest with you. So you got to start feeding that subconscious. Start feeding your belief system great things because your body doesn't know any different. It's not going to distinguish reality from what you're feeding it. So feed it the great stuff. Everything that you ever happens is created twice. You get this principle if you read Stephen Covey, Seven Principles of Most Highly Effective People. You'll find it in there, too. You create it first in your mind, and then it becomes your reality. So it's created twice. It's created first in your mind, and then it's created in, as part of your reality. So you want to begin with the end in mind. That's kind of a concept. Came out of Stephen Covey's book, too. Begin with the end in mind. So put the end in your head, and then you create it as a reality. You create it twice. Once in the mind and then in your reality. And that's part of belief system. It's about putting that whole concept, putting your belief system behind you, behind your business, behind what's happening to you in Manatech and in life. This applies to anything in life. This isn't just about Manatech by any means. And you want to try to move that belief system because some of you sit there and go, well, okay, Rich, I believe. And I go, oh, yeah, that sounds really convicted. I can tell by the tone of voices sometimes that people are just saying things to say them. How about saying things to make Mary Jo happy? I mean, you know, I have that happen too. Those of you who are leaders in here, you know, you hear that. Sometimes your people just talk to say things because they just want to, they're into this program in their life that I need to be liked. What does Mary Jo want me to say? So I'm going to say it because I need to be liked. Well, throw that out. Vomit that stuff up. If that's what you're going on in your life, you're not going down the right path. Your world isn't about pleasing others. It's not about pleasing everybody. Ugh, throw up. You probably got that probably as a young kid. That was developed as a program in your life early on. So, and I suggest you read that book. I know I've suggested it many times on the call, but I'll do it one more time. It was a book called What Other People Think of Me Is None of My Business by Terry Cole Whitaker. It's a great book that shake you out of that. I have to please people. I have to be liked. So you make statements, and you don't want to do that. You want to make, if you're going to make a statement of belief to me, then you believe it. You'll be convicted about it. A belief is about conviction. Raise it to the level of conviction in your life and watch the results you create when you get convicted about something. Some of you have never been convicted about anything in life. We walk through life without any convictions because, you know, it's scary to be convicted because what if we're wrong? Oh, my gosh. The fear of being wrong. Oh, my gosh. Stop. You know, every single time you make a mistake on something, what is it? It's nothing more than a lesson you learn. So don't worry about that. But you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to be convicted. And you can get convicted if you know who you are. Find out who you are. Do some core value analysis. Get a vision in your mind. Get a vision for your life. And get convicted about it. And watch what happens. It's incredible. The level it brings and the energy it brings by being truly convicted. All right. So that's law 8, which is our law that says what? That the law of belief and how critical belief plays a role in our life. And the last law of the 9 unbreakable laws of network marketing is the law of follow-up and follow-through. And this one is absolutely crucial, too. We've heard it so many times, right? The fortune is in the follow-up. I'm going to tell you, it's absolutely true in this business. Follow up and follow through. Follow up and follow through. Contact people. Get them on board. Get to contact people. You know, follow up. Call them the next week. Call them the week after. Keep in contact with them. I can't even begin to tell you how many people I laugh. I go on. I say, you know, if you want to send stuff out to 100 people and then not follow up with them, they're going to end up somehow in somebody's organization. I can tell you when I go out on the road sometimes or I'm working with some people in different towns, I'll be talking to somebody, doing a one-on-one with them because they came to one of my meetings, and they'll go, you know, Mary Jo, this is the third time I've heard about Manatech. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because somebody shared with them about Manatech and never bothered to continue to keep them on a man-a-mail list or a follow-up form, that they didn't stay with it. They didn't stay with them. They shared it, but they walked away. Everybody that you contact, you should stay with. In fact, I love to talk to people when I first talk to them, and they say, well, Mary Jo, I don't think I'm interested. I say, well, would you like me to take you, would you like me to close your file? It's a great statement, because close your file sounds so terminal. Sounds like, oh, my gosh, she's closing my file. Sounds like she's stopping my life. I'm not going to be able to produce. I'm not going to be able to do anything else in life. She's closing my file. And so that's why I like using that language, because most, so I say, would you like me to close your file, or would you mind if I just, sent you a man-a-mail from time to time to keep you updated on nutrition? 99% of people say they want to get a man-a-mail. So when that person finally decides, maybe they go to a meeting that Ray Robbins gives or one of you guys gives some city, some place, somewhere, and they get exposed to Manatech again. What are they getting in the mail from me every month? The man-a-mail. So they know exactly who first introduced them, so I end up hearing about it. They'll call me back, and they'll go, you know, Mary Jo, a friend of mine invited me to this meeting, and I know you're the first one to contact me, and it's incredible. But it's a mechanism to stay in touch instead of allow these people to go somewhere, drift, and go somewhere else. I call it just service, because I truly, if I'm really interested in helping them with health, does my interest in helping them get better stop when they tell me that at this time they're not interested? Because when people says no, say no to me, it's not no permanently. It's I don't know enough or not right now. That's what it signals to me. There's always a future, and that's why I keep in touch. So, you really, the fortune is in the follow-up. You got to follow up with people, and you got to, it's not about just sending materials out. I ask people sometimes, what are the reasons why you don't follow up? Because some people raise their hand, they say, my worst part of doing Manatech is follow-up. I get people, I talk to them, and then I send them some materials, and I go, what's that all about? First of all, it's a ton of waste of money. You're sending materials out, and you're not even bothering to follow up. And most of the time, people say to me, well, number one, it's fear of rejection. We got a big fear of rejection. And again, it's not ever rejection of you. You just can't, you got to get over that. You got to let people, and you have to recognize that people have a right to make a decision for themselves. You don't control their lives. They have a right to look at it, review it, and come to their own conclusion. Yay or nay. When you come to that reality check, you're going to be 10,000 times better off in sharing with people, because you're not going to be so anxious around them signing up. You're going to be anxious to support them in whatever decision they make. So you want to give them the right. They have the right to decide for themselves, okay? So that's important for you to do. So don't let the fear of rejection be the thing that stops you on follow-up. The other thing that scares people on follow-up is a lot of people tell me, well, Mary Jo, when I talked to her, she really didn't seem that interested, so I don't think she'd sign up anyway. And I'm like, so why did you send the materials out? You want to play the game. You want to do Manatech halfway, but you don't want to do it the whole way, because it's outside your comfort zone to talk to somebody and share with them. Well, make it something you're so comfortable with that you can't stand it if you're not doing it all the time. Now you're starting to do the business. So turn the table on yourself and start making it something you have a true conviction on. And all you have to do is, touch one person's life, see phenomenal result in their life, and then if you're not turned on after that, I don't know what's going to turn you on. If you know the power of the products and the power of this mission, what's holding you back? Why are you staying stuck? So power of follow-up and follow-through, critical. And I'm going to tell you, only a very few people on the face of this earth get really, serious about this, are truly convicted on follow-up and follow-through. And those are the ones that walk across stage at Manifest as presidential, because they are so convicted on follow-up and follow-through. They don't leave a stone unturned. They make sure they're right back. Everyone they send a pack out to, they get right back to. That's the way they run their life, because they really mean it when they tell somebody, I'd love to help you get well, or I'd love to help impact your health. They mean it. They're not just saying it, but they truly mean it. If you truly mean it, you're going to follow up and follow through. And those are the ones that have extraordinary success. So persistence, critical. Got to persist. follow up, follow through. That's what's so important. That's what makes the difference, and that's where the fortune lies. Okay, I'm going to get off of mute. Okay, do I have everybody back?
Mary
Jo. There you go. Go ahead.
The name of the book about what people think of me and the author again.
Okay, What People Think of Me is None of My Business, and it's written by Terry Cole Whitaker.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Great book. That's a great book for people to get them off of people pleasers or the need to be liked. You got
the last name?
Terry Cole Whitaker. I think it's W-H-I-T-T.
Hello.
Whitaker. W-H-I-T-T.
Okay, I'll find it.
I'll try to send it out. Yeah, Whitaker. Yeah. Anyone else? Any questions? Any issues? Did this hit home for anybody? Did you feel any, did we feel any pinching or pain through the talk today?
Absolutely. That's what I needed.
So you all come on the call at 10 o'clock to get from a masochistic point of view. No. Good.
Here
good.
Go.
Yeah.
What was the name of the book, Timeless Healing?
Timeless, yeah.
Who was the author of that one?
Okay, the author of that book was Herbert, H-E-R-B-E-R-T, Herbert Benson, B-E-N-S-O-N. And it's called Timeless Healing, and he talks about the absolute power of our mind, our belief system over healing, our, you know, getting well, yeah, which is
that's
so...
That's in your number one under Law 8, in your notes.
Yep, it's under number one in law under the, yeah, if you have the outline for today, it's under Law number 8, yes. Uh-huh, great. Anyone else?
Mary Jo, I have a question on people that say the books are too expensive. Sometimes do you just walk away from people like that?
No, I never walk away from somebody who tells me they're too expensive. This is how I handle it. If they tell me it's too expensive, I love to do a couple of things. I might look at them and say, compared to what? That's a great question. Get them to start telling you about them. You want to put the onus back on them. They should carry the burden of telling you about what is expensive and what's not. I also like to ask them, I said, well, could you explain to me what value do you put on your health? What value do you put on your health and your family's health? Give me an idea of what value you put on that. You get it? I start putting the burden back on them.
Well, two of the people that I have this issue with, they're telling me about all these poor people, and one, her sister, makes $800 a month.
I get it.
So that's why I'm saying sometimes it's such an issue to drop them.
Well, you know what? There's not a person on the face of the earth that I can't look at their monthly budget and come up with $100. I don't care who it is. It's just a matter of priorities. What's more important to you? And people don't like sometimes I ask them that. I said, show me your budget, what you spend, what your income is and what you spend on a monthly basis. Let's look at that. And I'll work with people.